you notice, I put the rest of the schedule for Second Thessalonians up. So we actually go through the end of October, and the plan is we talk about doing Jude. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, so, but we still have a lot to do in Thessalonians. And actually, when I put the schedule together, I'm responsible, or you can you know, blame me for the schedule or whatever. There's a fair amount of repetition, and I kind of in small little chunks, but I think it's good because we kind of get to go back over and think about these end time events that Paul was sharing with the Thessalonians. So today we're kind of down to the what I've titled the delusion by God, and sounds kind of harsh, but we're going to see. I think we're going to see that's in keeping with His character of holiness and righteousness. Okay, with that in mind, I'm going to use Macaulay's outline again. And he doesn't have a very exciting title about this section, 2 through 12. He says, predictive teaching. And I think it's the whole mystery of this man of lawlessness, is this whole section. And last week, Andrew did a great job in going through the section on 8 through 10. I'm going to go back and review that a little bit and I'm going to stick with the verses that we have there. And Andrew did a great job of kind of putting it into the whole perspective of the end time events. I'm going to do it more with the idea of kind of heading toward this this delusion that God is going to it'll be His judgment on the unbelievers in the tribulation period. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and look at so just a short review here. So if you look at chapter 2 and some of the names for this lawless one, he's called the man of sin or lawlessness in verse 3. He's called the son of destruction or perdition. And the reason for different words sometimes is different translations. We'll take the same original word and translate it differently, but it does help kind of get your head around what they're calling him. The lawless one. And then the lie or the falsehood. All right, so then I was fortunate to be able to listen to Ron Merriman a little bit teaching this section. It was a difficult listen. It's from many years ago, and the quality was pretty poor. But I struggled. Bonnie and I listened together. We struggled through it. But it was good. We got some good things out of it. So he kind of points out, here's some characteristics of the man of sin. And he's a man, first of all. The word anthropos is used. He's a man, not a fallen angel. He's personification of sin. He can't be redeemed. And there's actually a verse that I was going to share, but I've actually forgotten. There's a verse that talks about that. He's in rebellion against God. And then lastly, he's a liar. And his whole and he's also called the beast, and that was pointed out by Andrew last week. His whole life is one of deception and counterfeiting of Christ. Not a very good person to be around, to put it mildly. But he's going to convince many people that he's the real deal, which is kind of amazing. But we actually aren't surprised when we see in our world today, we see people that pretend to be something, but they're really not. And when the truth comes out, we find out that they're not telling the truth, or it's built on lies. And it's amazing how far. It's interesting in our world today. Once the lie kind of goes out, it kind of sticks. Have you noticed that it kind of sticks, and then it's hard to ever reverse that?
Well, because the media and the internet picks it up, and then people are so naive. Anything that's on the internet must be true.
Exactly. I know.
Like, who's vetting any of this?
I know.
Nobody.
I know. Well, it's going to be in spades, as they say.
Well, we are set up right now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's for all that to happen because of the internet.
You're right.
Social media.
Yeah. All that stuff. Okay. All right. With that. Okay. So now the first verse, I'll go back and start kind of going back over. I'm going to kind of stick with the verses pretty closely here. So it says, then the lawless one will be revealed. Good, okay. And actually that follows the statement in the previous verse, which I didn't read. Actually, I should have had somebody read this. That's not too good. Actually, maybe I'll rethink this. Just, would somebody like to read verse 7 through 12 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12? I'm sorry, I got off track here a little bit.
For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power,
with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception, among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Margaret. That's great. Okay, so now when I get to this, in the previous verse, we just read it, which is great. So the 7b, the last part of the verse 7 that was read, says only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So, you know, this is a topic that, and I've actually forgotten, Andrew, what side you came down on. I like what Merriman said. He said he kind of viewed the restrainer as the Holy Spirit working through the body of believers. Some people have that different. They have it an institution, the
government
or something like that. I don't know. It seems, you know, Holy Spirit working through the body of a believer. That's I like that, so I kind of am presenting that. So, and taken out of the way appears the fact when the body of believers are taken out, then the Holy Spirit's ministry through them will end. And that will kind of signal the way for the man of lawlessness to appear. Then the lawless one will be revealed. But the interesting thing, in this verse, there's no timing given. It doesn't say how soon after the church is taken out, if you go along with this, that the man of lawlessness will be revealed. But there are indications in the Old Testament. You can make a case from verses in the Old Testament about some timing. But this verse does not address the timing. So I've actually seen some things where they have a little gap. Lawlessness revealed, and they'll have the rapture, and then there'll be a gap, and we don't know how long that is. Okay, so with that in mind, now we go on to the last part of verse 8. Okay, so now we fast forward to the end of the tribulation period. The Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, it says. The idea of slay is to take away, destroy, or kill. And with that verse, with that definition, you might think, well, it sounds like the lawless one is, not around. He's toast. Well, he's around, but not in a very good place. So the description of that is, and he's called the beast here in Revelation 19:20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, and these two were thrown alive. I think that's kind of with it. You know, alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So they're that's where they're at. So that's where they go. And then here's an interesting thing. And bring to an end, the last part of that, the second part, is bring to an end by the appearance of his coming, speaking of the Lord's return. And this is one of our favorite words here at Holly Hills, and one of Paul's favorite words. Bring to an end is the word katergeo. It's to reduce to inactivity or render inoperative. And we're told that about our sin nature, that our sin nature hasn't been destroyed. It's been rendered inoperative. So that's kind of the picture here of what happens to the lawless one. He's no longer operational. And this will occur when Christ returns at the end of the tribulation. And one reason for kind of going through this and kind of repeating this again, you know, it's good to do that, certainly. But I want to kind of lead up to the very last part of verse 10, which is kind of introduce those two verses that they're new this week. Okay. So now the next verse, verse 9, says, that is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activities of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So I've underlined the word with. There's actually three with, well, that's hard to say, with statements, 2 and 9 and 1 and 10. And they kind of tell us what's the character of the lawless one. So now a description of the lawless one's character. The lawless one who is coming, and it's in accord with a norm or a standard, and that standard is Satan, the activity of Satan, with the activity of Satan. And Keithley kind of points out, with the standard removed, there's nothing to hinder the working of Satan. And it's with all power and signs and false wonders. So here's a case where we're going to see that these three words, power, signs, and wonders, are used of our Savior too. But when they're used of Satan, they're a counterfeit. So it's a counterfeit of Christ's character. And we see the true character of these in spoken of Jesus in Acts 22b. Jesus a Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Okay, so that's the first two. So the next with statement, with all deception of wickedness for those who perish. And deception here is to is to cheat, deceive, beguile, give a false impression, whether by appearance, statement, or influence. Boy, like I said, that's something we see, you know, more and more. And I was kind of thinking that we came to Holly Hills in 2001, and actually, I had come on and off before that, and we had come on and off before that, but. I was kind of thinking back to just the world situation, just back as short as that ago. You know, we celebrated the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and our world has changed a lot. I mean, it's just amazing. I just thinking about all these all the deception. It seems like deception is now the name of the game. If you can deceive somebody, if you can scare people, and with all the different things, there's just so much of that. It's pretty sad, but it seems like it's a foreshadowing what's going to happen. And then Keithley kind of points out, certainly the deception proceeds from the evil nature of Satan's system. It will lead to an unrighteousness that is unparalleled in history. And then here, the last part of this is really pretty, the last part, this phrase, for those who perish. So we're going to see that Paul points it out here. They're unbelievers, and that phrase there, for those who perish, will be, it isn't given, it's given in its pronouns. We're going to see a lot of pronouns in referring back to this phrase, for those who perish. So Paul's going to tell us about what these people who perish, they're unbelievers, they're perishing, but what was their characteristics? What were they like? How is he justified that they should be the perishing? Not that God has to justify himself, but God does through his scriptures. He gives justification for why he acts and why he does things. And so we're going to see that. And actually, the last part of this verse is a key to that. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So because this is why they're called those who perish. The subject is they, those who perish, did not receive, and it's this Greek word dekomai or dekomai. It signifies to accept by deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. So those who perish, pretty straightforward, they did not accept what was offered. So now what's neat is it, and this little phrase. So the object here of this subject, verb, and direct object is the love of the truth. So I spent some time, you know, as you go through these verses, you know, I find it's great to come back again and again. And the love of the truth. Well, Eyes of love. Love of the truth. Love. Is that speaking about a body of truth? Is that speaking about, you know, maybe the whole message that was given by the apostles of the faith was called in some place? They're talking about that, the truth. What's it talking about here? Well, you know, I like to look at other translations. Well, I came across the Amplified Version's translation, and when I saw this, a little light went on in my head.
The truth. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, they capitalized the truth. What a concept. It has a definite article. Boy, hey, it's something. Because, the Amplified renders it, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it. I said, wow, this is good. Now we're getting someplace. And I thought about another verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, with that in mind, I believe they did not accept the person or the work of Christ. It's another way, you know, God is so incredible, and he phrases and puts out his word in so many, it's like a diamond. You look at it one way, look at this, and this is another way to look at the truth. They did not want his son, and boy, don't we see that in Scripture? They don't want him. They just do not want the Savior, and we see that today. People, you know, good, quote, good people, by the world standards, don't want Christ. I'm saying they just do not. They have their all their reasons why they don't want him. But that's it. And so God's going to hang his. He's going to justify his actions based upon the fact that they did not accept Christ. Did not want Christ, his work and his person. So I thought that really helped. And I didn't see outside the Amplified Bible. I didn't see a lot of people taking that path. Not that that means that I'm totally right about this, but I liked that path, and I liked what, you know, it kind of, to me, it hung together much better. Some went off in different explanations about the love of the truth. It's the love, to me, it's the love of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so now, with that in mind, today's verses. So the first verse says, for this reason, God will send upon them, those who perish, a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. And then, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. You know, and it got me thinking about, different people in Scripture. How about Pharaoh? So Pharaoh's a guy that he hardened his heart against Moses, you know, over and over and over again. Then eventually, in time, what happened? It's sort of like this. At some point, God's patience. He says, okay, Pharaoh, you've said no long enough. So then he hardened his heart. And it's almost the same concept. And that's the way God operates. And actually, it's kind of a scary thing. And I've heard other pastors talk about this. Maybe Macaulay occasionally. About, you know, and we don't know. Can we point to a person and say, you probably know, as God... He doesn't give up on us, but it is at some point he does change his plan. And you know, my prayer is that any person that I would know and could influence would accept the Savior and not be in that position. But there is a picture here in the end times, and that will happen. Okay, it says, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. For this reason, based upon not accepting the person of Christ, in verse 10b, the word, so Macaulay shares here, for this reason, this phrase shows that the judgment is not capricious, but is part of a cause and effect relationship. And I think it's just, it really helped me, because you go through this and you think, boy, God's just piling it on. They already don't believe in him, and then he's going to make it even worse. Well, that's... I'm sorry, you're dealing with a holy God, and he knows what he's doing, and he's not doing it capriciously. The subject here is God will send. It's this idea of sending of a person or a thing, and this, so he's literally, it's a present tense, so he is sending upon them, those who perish, a deluding influence. I spent this is another, because between the truth, the truth, and then this word here, a deluding influence. So I camped out here a long time. I told Bonnie during the week, I told her different parts of it. She says, Roger, you sure you got that right? I got myself, sometimes she'll ask me and I'll be half asleep or waking up, and so I'll tell her something. She says, that doesn't sound right. I don't know. So basically, it literally means, a deluding influence means, it's two words actually, a working of error or a working of delusion. So I like the phraseology, a working of error. So let's kind of camp on that for a little bit. A working of error. So the working word is, it's from the word energy. We get our word energy from. It's a working operation, action. In the New Testament, it's always used of the supernatural. So in a good sense, it's used in this verse, this working, Ephesians 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So this is a wonderful working of God in the believer. But in our case, this is the case we're talking about here, it's in a negative sense. That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity, and the word activity is our word here for energy, working of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders. So that's the negative usage of the word. So here's the other word, working of error, plane, I think it is, a wandering or roaming. So in one of my discussions with Bonnie, I put wandering in place of this. I had wandering air. I would tell you, what are you? So eventually I got it right, I hope. So Keithley kind of shares here that in the New Testament, it is used only figuratively of wandering from the path of truth in the sense of error, delusion, deception, deception to which one becomes subject. So actually, I didn't have it down here, but could someone read a usage of this word is in Jude. We'll get to it here. Jude 11. Did someone read Jude 11?
Roger?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Could this possibly be like a turning of them over to themselves?
Just repeat what you said. Open to what again?
Is it possible this is a turning of them over to themselves?
Turning them over to themselves.
Oh, turning over. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's. Yeah. I mean, they obviously have chosen this path. They chose to reject the truth, right? Right. And so you're saying giving them over, and it could be. Sure. I mean, I think it fits in that whole operation that God does with unbelievers. At some point, it seems like he backs away, and he actually, compounds the issue. I mean, and with the point that they're going to be judged, and we're going to see that shortly here. But that, no, I think that's good. And actually, the verse in Jude here, I think it was.
What is the verse?
Go ahead. Jude 11.
Jude 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yvonne, would you read it?
So, woe to them.
You have your microphone on.
I'm sorry. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. And perished in the rebellion of Korah.
Okay, it's that word error. There is the same word we have here, the error of Balaam. So they, you know, it's use of a, you know, man gets fixed on a thing and he just goes with it. He goes that direction. You know, we could say the error of so many things in our world today. The man goes down that path, and so this is so God will send upon them a working of error. Okay, and then we're going to see his reason for doing that is the next chart. So it says in the New American Standard, it says, so that they will believe what is false. So in trying to make sure I understood this little phrase here, I took the interlinear directly, for to them to believe the falsehood, or it could be the lie. For them, those who are perishing, to believe the falsehood, the lie, or the lie. So for is this word, can be translated to make, from the Amplified, to make them who perish, to believe. So here, so if they don't want to have faith in the Savior, Okay, they're gonna have faith in a lie. So it's a word that we use, it's the most common word for faith and belief and trust in the scriptures. Have faith, to be persuaded of, hence to place confidence or trust in. The most often used word for belief. And many examples of this in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Okay. So in this case, they're believing a falsehood. They're believing this falsehood. And the falsehood... Did somebody say something? Go ahead, Wayne.
Could you say an example of that would be like evolution?
Good point.
A man believes in evolution.
Exactly.
Everything that he does in research is based on that lie.
Exactly.
So it just continues to get worse. You know?
Right, right. And it's almost like God says, okay, you've believed all that, you've gone down that path. Well, I'm going to show you what the result of that going down that path is. And it's my judgment, basically. He's going to show you, and we see that. I mean, over and over again, we see. I'm thinking about Marla shared some of the tapes from the library with us about the archaeologists. And here's these unbiased archaeologists. Well, they have a system that was based on the Egyptian kings and whatever. Well, when they come across, but the scriptures have a different, the scriptures have a timeline, the Egyptian kings have a timeline. Well, because scripture doesn't fit with the Egyptian timeline, they throw it out. It can't possibly be right. But there's this guy who is a believer, he did some research, and when you align scripture with the archaeology, it fits, but they won't accept that. They said, no, it has to fit this man-made timeline. So it's they believe a lie. Go ahead.
We talk about principles a lot. Mike does, you know.
Yes.
And the way things work. But if the principle is wrong, then and everything's based on that, then all the rest of that is going to be wrong.
Exactly.
Even right into what we see today in COVID and everything else.
Exactly.
Some of the principles are not the right ones.
No, I agree. No, that's good. That's really good. Okay, so as for them to believe a falsehood or the lie. So let's think about that a little bit. I got lost where I'm at. Okay, all right. So here we have, since we have the definite article with the, so that verse. Let me go back here. It's actually in the verse. There's a definite article. It's the falsehood or the lie. The definite article is there. So the question comes up, what is the lie? What lie is he referring to? There's too many choices. There's lots of choices out there. Lots of lies out there. Well, I started going through a few. So here's some lies out there. And it's germane to this verse. I mean, we could go off a rabbit trail here, but the man of lawlessness has declared many lies and falsehoods. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God. He takes his seat in the temple of God. He displays himself as being God. So there's a whole bunch right there. And some commentators believe, a lot of times they say good Bible scholarship is to take, don't go stray too far from the context. In the context, that's a sufficient lie. That's a good enough lie, but we could keep going. Okay, Romans has some just great verses here. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And actually here it is the lie again. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. And then Keith Lee shares, certainly also this goes all the way back to Satan's original lie to Eve in claiming that by choosing to eat of the tree of good and evil, man can become like God. So there are a lot of lies, but they all kind of distill about one topic, and I have actually the last thing I want to share kind of shows that they all distill about one central topic. Okay, in order that, so here's the purpose. So this, why does God bring this delusion? He has a plan here upon those who perish, in order that none excluded, in order that they, all of them, may be judged. to determine and so as to judge, to execute judgment upon. And he said, okay, and here's the reason. Here's the reason. Again, the focus is upon believing the truth. They did not believe in the truth. And since the truth, since Christ is the truth, they did not accept him for who he is. So it says, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth. They did not believe. And it totally fits with the rest of Scripture. That's the demarcation of all mankind. Did you trust in my son's person and work on the cross?
Given lots of opportunities in the tribulation. The 144,000 evangelists, the two witnesses. I think there was an angel in the sky giving the gospel. So they had plenty of opportunity, but...
No, I didn't. I know, it's...
Never heard it. That's not right. Like they never heard the truth.
Well, and you could argue that they heard it before the tribulation started, and then God doesn't stop there. He continues on during the tribulation, and the word is given out. But they did not believe the truth about who his son is. And here's an interesting part, the last part, but took pleasure in wickedness. Mm-hmm. You know, you first look at that, you say, oh boy, these are bad dudes or bad dudesses. Whatever.
Dudesses.
That's a word we coined at home, dudesses. Anyway. You know, they're out doing bad stuff, you know, they're going with the girls who do, or you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, bad. But no, you know, actually, what is this about? And it's actually not what you think it is. But in strong contrast, took pleasure, to be well pleased with, take pleasure in, unrighteousness and iniquity. So Keith says, again, we are face to face with the root issue of man's unbelief. It's the inherent desire to live in unrighteousness. So what does that look like? And it looks like educated people wanting to, you know, they want whatever, you know, rings their bell, or whatever that their system. They want that system. You know, go forward with that. You know, that's what's going to satisfy you. And that's unrighteousness. I mean, it doesn't have to be nasty and dirty and.
Well, yeah, because look at all the people who say, "I'm a good person. I've never stolen anything.
Exactly.
I've never killed anyone.
Absolutely.
I'm a good person."
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, Bob's brother used to tell us he didn't need Christ because he was a good person.
I know, didn't you?
I mean, really, and to his death. And
isn't that
he
sad?
He got so angry with Bob sharing the gospel with him and about his life and why it was important. Don't talk to me about that. If you want a relationship with me, don't talk to me anymore about God. Nothing. And so, you know, we had to finally just say,
No, I know.
We can't talk to him anymore. So then we just had to realize, you know, it has to be our life. He has to see the Lord in our life. And what's interesting is after he died, his wife met someone else who was a believer, and she became a believer.
Wow.
And she was right where he was before, but she had watched us all those years. And after he died, she's now a believer.
Well, that's wonderful.
I mean, so who knows?
I know. That's true.
You don't
that's
know.
True.
But that was really what it, I'm a good person.
Right.
So look
right.
at the world.
Oh,
and
yeah.
all these people who think, well, we give money to charities and we support good causes and we're our children, you know, we're good and blah, blah, blah.
No.
That's what they think. But see,
I know.
It's
not. It took pleasure.
It's still unrighteousness.
It took pleasure in unrighteousness.
And yeah.
It doesn't have to be the nasty stuff that you know. No, that's absolutely right. That's totally cool.
It's rejecting Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
It's rejecting it. And it all boils down to that. You reject what God has offered. So here's a verse that kind of speaks to that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of the men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. I was thinking about the archaeologists here. They just, I don't want to hear about that. We'll strike it from the literature. It can't be true. You cannot have any. And actually, they take delight in that video. They take delight when they can disprove it. That disproves the Bible. My theory of the Egyptian timeline disproves the Bible. Okay, that's I don't know. I'd hate to be, but they, you know, they take pleasure in it. They taunt them. That's, you know, I've disproved the Bible.
I'm gonna say when being in the oil business for so many years, and I would deal with geologists, and so then when Mount St. Helens happened,
Oh yeah,
and the layers were laid down, boom, 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 in a week. You had all these layers
right.
that they had been studying for all their career and would give us advice on places to drill
right,
and all
right.
kinds of stuff based on millions of years that this was laid down. And when I would confront them about, well, what about what happened at Mount St. Helens? It's a perfect example of the way the Lord had worked this out.
Right.
It was like a stone wall. I mean, they because if they even acknowledged that could be true, then their whole sphere was incorrect, a lie.
Right.
It was very interesting.
No,
they
that's
would get
good.
Very angry when I would, you know. But that's true. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
No, that's absolutely right. When man is confronted, you know, man outside of Christ is confronted by that. He either, you know, comes. He either accepts that and moves forward, or he says, "No, I don't want it." And you know, I was thinking about some kind of parallel. I don't know. We have so many terrible things today, but people wanting Barabbas over Christ, and I was thinking about just different, you know, different things. Other different people, bad people rise and become icons for movements, and we see that today. It's awful, awful people that are murderers. And awful people become posters of these people, and it just drives me crazy. Awful people have been made. The Barabbases of today are folk are the poster child we see. It's awful, terrible. Okay, so okay, couple of verses, one verse and a final quote. More from Romans, Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and here's what was mentioned. Yeah, thanks, Kathy. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So at some point, God says, "Okay, that's it," and it's well, you know, Lord willing, you know that any people that we know that will accept Him. And then I thought this was really outstanding by Constable, and this kind of centers down to the lie, kind of crystallizes it. By the lie, that which is false, is apparently meant the denial of the fundamental truth that God is God. It is the rejection of His self-revelation as Creator and Savior, righteousness and merciful Judge of all, which leads to the worship due Him alone offered to another, such as the man of lawlessness. So they replace this wonderful, our wonderful Creator and Savior, they focus on the man of lawlessness. Pretty sad stuff. So, now this section is, you know, it's a tough section, but I think it really has some really wonderful things to bring to us. Any other thoughts out there? Comments? Okay. Well, I think Bob is up next week. I think he's back. I think.
Yeah, he gets back today.
Yeah. And yeah, so we're gonna carry on. He gets you know, like I said, I have it chunked up into small little bite-sized pieces. He'll get to do giving thanks to God. That's an uplifting part. Giving thanks to God. And that'll be verses 13 and 14. So they're just bite-sized little pieces, and so it allows us to kind of go back and review what was said before. And so, anyway. All right, then I'll just close in prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time today, Lord. We thank You for the blessings we have. Thank You that You are a righteous God who loves us, who died for us, who provided every possible avenue of to bring people to know You. We thank You for that. In Christ's name, amen.
Margaret, Bob's playing the piano, too, next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows.
He knows. Well, I know he's going to be here, so it's scheduling for piano. can't escape.
Well, cannot escape.
I guess he could.
Right.
Right after class.
Well, he's been in New York this weekend, and boy, with all the things going on in New York, you know, boy, a lot of stuff going on there this
weekend.
Thanks,
folks. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thanks. It's Roger.
Yes. Go ahead.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay, thank you.
Oh.
Okay. Sue, we miss you. Come in.
I hope so sometime soon. How are you, Gail?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, just leave it up. They might talk.
She says, I'm good, thank you.
Kathy, I really appreciate your comments all the time. They're so thoughtful and spot on.
Oh, thank you.
Have anything fun this week coming up?
I don't think so.
No, like life.
Yeah, regular.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
I do my artwork and